It lasted up until COVID?
Dicks and ashtrays, that's all I made.
Band practice is over, time to wrestle.
Wacky tobacco.
Electric lettuce.
The old pokey smoke.
I hate to break up this little Satan party.
I certainly didn't think that, you know, 27 years later, I'd be talking about it.
By a priest?
It's the 413, let's tell everybody to listen to our show.
Good evening and welcome to the latest episode of the 413 podcast with the PCB peeps. This is Abby. I'm here with Eric.
Hello.
Andy.
Hey.
Eric doesn't know how to do that part. He doesn't usually have to. Bill.
Yo, what's up, peeps?
Jared.
Hello.
And our very special guest this evening, a pair of Pittsfield brothers, Sean and Mike. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This is awesome. Fan of the pod.
Thanks. We're super excited that you're here tonight.
So yeah, stoked.
So I feel bad because people like tend to, when they listen to podcasts, they form a parasocial relationship with the hosts. And I find that happens to me all the time when I listen to pods. But in particular, because I know you guys, like I'll find myself screaming at my phone about stuff. Like, no, you're remembering this wrong. And like, there are additional details, and then I'll message poor Wick on Instagram. I'd like, after every episode, I'm like, oh, hey, you know, this, that, sorry about that, Wick. I don't mean to bother you. I like the pod.
No, it's totally fine. We love a little bit of extra clarity.
my favorite is watching the Instagram messages go back and forth, and the content that comes through is my favorite because I'm usually just the creepy observer in the background. But I think wanted to maybe kick it off by asking you a little bit, if you wanted to like walk us through how you got into the Pittsfield punk rock scene, or if you happened to be born into it, if you came a little bit later to it, if you want to tell us about that.
Yeah. So like, I don't know, with punk rock in general, like, so for everybody in my age group, I'm in my, you know, mid 40s, just like everybody around my age, you know, we were listening to, you know, the stuff that was current at the time. And then Nevermind came out and it just blew everyone away. Like, you know, I know if you were a little older, like there were other bands doing similar stuff, but I certainly wasn't aware of it. And what else was going on at the time didn't sound anything like that. Nevermind absolutely blew my mind. It didn't sound like anything else. And, like, you know, and Nirvana's a punk band for sure.
Yeah.
And that was really my first introduction to punk. And then somewhere along the lines, shortly after that, I heard the Ramones and, man, that was one of those moments where, like, you know, when sometimes you listen to music and your brain just tingles, like when you encounter something you haven't encountered before and you're like, what is this? What is this feeling? I need more of this right now. and that was it, man. I was off and running. The Ramones really were like the key into that whole world. And after that, it was just buying anything, you know, punk rock related. But like to this day, I was at the gym earlier, you know, humble brag. I was at the gym and I was listening to, I was listening to the Ramones. I still listen to them all the time. It all comes back to the Ramones. They're like, I don't know, man. They're, it still holds up. It's so good. Yeah. I love that band. And then, you know, from there, I was primed to, find anything local. And when I was in high school, you started seeing flyers pop up and about for the local scene. And the first band, Pittsfield band that I saw was the Asthmatics, man. And that
that was
the breakthrough. That was like just the introduction to everything, like going to see them live and like experiencing, you know, the chaos and like the, you know, the early high school mosh pits and everything. And those guys were great, man. Those tapes still hold up. Like they were good as hell. That really was like the key into the Pittsfield punk rock. And from there, you know, just talking to, you know, you start to make friends with everybody. Like those Asthmatics guys were great. They were so, you know, super friendly, Mike and Mark and Mike, very happy to talk to you and talk about bands and clue you in into other bands that were playing around at the time. That's how I got into, like, after the Asthmatics, it was the Beat Machine. I don't think anybody's mentioned the Beat Machine. Yeah, the Beat Machine is awesome. I get Roy Lichtenstein Was Innocent stuck in my head at least once or once. Those tapes are awesome. I wish
my brother got that tape. And I stole it from him. And I was like, this is incredible. And I didn't know it was a Pittsfield band. I just was like, this is awesome. Where did you get this? And he's like, it's right in town, dude.
Yeah, it's just like a dude.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I found that interesting, too. Like, I recall moments where you sort of have that connection of what, when you're growing up and hearing music and then getting to, like, touch it, is a whole different thing, right? So I remember early on and slightly off, but made me think of it was like hearing Adam and His Package on Napster and downloading all these tracks and then going to see Adam and His Package and being like, whoa,
dude,
I'm like so close. Like I can touch this and this is amazing. But that's like always this magical moment that I think a lot of people experience that like, makes them a lifer into that, because there is something special about almost like seeing your heroes in a way, because even if it's not something you think of, it's like someone taking up space in your mind and in your ears for a long period of time becomes your hero in a way. Like it's something that you aspire to or listen to for whatever reason. So I always love that about being in the local scene, is just getting to touch that a little bit and then, you know, brag about it with other people that weren't as close, you know?
It really is like a whole crazy different animal when you see it live. It's like you get to feel the energy and you'd see, I don't know, man, it's just, it's cool to see like, you know, with a three piece punk band, like three people like doing three different things and somehow it ties together and like they all have to do it like in sync. I don't know. It's wild.
For sure.
It's hard. I can barely do one thing. Like get three people to do it like in sync is pretty wild. It's fun as hell, man. I love going to those shows. And it's like you can make friends pretty easily going to those, just starting to you know, chat with everybody. Bill, that's where I met you, man.
Absolutely. I remember, so it was I was at Taconic.
Yep.
And there was a PHS talent show, I believe my freshman year.
Yeah.
And like, so this band that played at PHS, or with all four of the members, because I believe Tom S, Mike B, Tim S, and Ryan P were members of it, and they're like, "Yeah, just come up and just start freestyling at the end." And then I you came up, and I started freestyling with me. I'm like, "Yo, who's this dude with like Liberty Spikes and like this is hella chill." And then the next week, I think it was Joel S's birthday, and the Semi Demigods were playing in his basement, and
oh my god!
And it was just like that was the biggest thing. It was like that those friendships that like, you know, like it meant the world to me, and everything were born in basements, and were born with these amazing people that were doing to me. And I still say to this day, when I listen to those records, we're doing amazing things. And, you know, maybe the lyrics were sophomoric and.
What, the lyrics you wrote as a teenager 25 years ago? Yeah. I'm shocked.
One of my favorite things, though, was writing lyrics, be like, oh, this is going to make Sean laugh, so I'm going to write this one. Operation Leaf Blower is still a big piece of my heart, because I'm like, you know what?
Dude, you know what's so funny about that? We you know, it was a running joke because of your Canadian heritage. We would give you a hard time about it. So Mike did a genealogy thing on us. Boy, you'll never guess what a huge number of our heritage is.
Mike, is this true?
Oh, yeah, very much. Yeah, it's so predictable. It's so predictable.
So we got the Aykroyd and the C's, so I'm stoked.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, Mike, how about you, man?
Yeah, what was it like coming after?
Yeah. So, I would say I was basically born into it, like you said, kind of a punk Nepo baby. Yeah, I mean, it's what I grew up with. It's probably the first music I heard because, you know, Sean and Pat were listening to punk and playing punk when I was growing up. So it was all around me, you know, like they'd be practicing with their bands in the basement. I'm sure it was Barboy or Robot.
Hell yeah. Yes.
And you guys would be practicing in the basement. I'd be hearing it. I'd watch it constantly. Yep. When I was old enough, I'd be going to shows. I know, you know, Sean took me to a couple shows. One of the ones I remember was Blank 77.
Oh, yeah.
Phil, I think you were there.
Yes, absolutely. In Dalton?
Yeah, yeah, the one in Dalton.
Yeah.
I remember, who was it, Jay, wearing a big robot head.
Yeah.
In the
sounds
pit.
About right.
I think I was 8 years old and I was running around the pit.
Are you only 8?
I think I was 8, yeah. And, you know, that's the thing about punk shows, though. Everyone was looking out for me. Everyone was super nice. I remember, I think I, like, cut my hand or something on, like, a pin from running around, and Kaya's mom helped me out and, like, give me a Band-Aid. And this is one of those things. It's so much fun. But yeah, I kind of grew up in it. I was always around it. I always loved it. And I still love punk.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was in the same grade as your brother, Pat.
Okay.
And I always just felt like someone else we know, like, there was like a million of you. Like every time I turn around, there was a different one. And I'm like, wait, no, wait, what? What order are you in? Like,
yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, like Sean and Pat were together close in grade and high school at the same time. And then there was a little bit of a gap, and then me and Matt, but there was still some overlap. So people were like, oh, look at you guys. Like, I know your brothers. Like, we all look the same. We also have the same laugh. Recognize us from a mile away.
Yeah, there's no familial similarity at all. Yeah.
The laugh is absolutely right, though.
It's funny, man. Like, I'll be around coworkers and stuff, and I'll be laughing, and they're like, where does that come from? I said, I don't know. My parents don't laugh like this, but me and all of my brothers all laugh like this. So it's
it comes from inside, I guess.
It's a hearty chuckle. I think Sean has the loudest one, but we all have
I don't know, man. Pat was like, wicked loud and deep. Cause like you could be somewhere like in a grocery store and you could hear Pat laughing on the other side of Price Chopper. And you're like, oh man, Pat's here. Like I'd be working sometimes. Is Pat here?
There's nothing wrong with having a loud laugh that could be heard across many places.
Joyous. It's fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Laugh is important. I think they say like the one thing you should never do is make fun of someone's laugh because it's so demoralizing. Like,
is it?
That would be awful. Yeah. So don't do it.
Kill joy.
Yeah, exactly. It's killing joy.
I think the way to do it is to try to like describe your laugh if it was subtitled. Right, like gregarious chuckle or something like, and that they got to figure out a way to do that. Just like
for sure,
pinpoint everyone's laugh through a subtitle.
So you guys mentioned Barbed Wire Robot. I'm holding up a flyer here for a show that was on Westchester Ave. I think this was Frank S's basement.
Yes,
The other Frank S. And it's the lineup was Live from Death Row, Shattered, and I remember Shattered being good, but I don't remember who was in that band.
Your Gold brother dust. Was in that band.
Gold Dust.
I think it was Ryan C.
Yeah.
Jay. Pat. And
Pat was in that band too.
When I saw them, yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
I can't remember who played bass though.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Ryan C, definitely the singer.
Yeah.
I remember that being good.
Yeah.
So it was them, a band called Final Rinse, who I don't remember.
Oh!
That was... Wick, wasn't it? I was in Final Rinse later, but
okay.
Joe, Jay, and I can't remember who played drums. Oh. It was a three piece. I'll think of it. I'm sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so, sorry, like no offense if I don't remember bands people were in. This is a long time ago. Yeah, yeah.
And bands that who knows if they lasted 15 minutes or four right. years. Right. So I was curious. So A, I need you to put in the chat what number Westchester that took sure. place at.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
it's
the
close.
The other thing is, so what were sort of your band origin stories?
You know, so I went to high school with Joel, Joe, and Jay, and Joel and I think Jay were in the Semi-Demigods together.
Yeah.
In that band? Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm holding up now a clipping from the Berkshire Eagle from 1997.
Yes.
With a picture of Brandon from the Semi-Demigods.
Yes.
This is from a show in Great Barrington that they played with the Asthmatics at a cafe. And the bit here says, fans of the Asthmatics. Nonetheless, there was a big turnout of teens from Pittsfield High School who are fans of the Asthmatics, a thrash brass band that include original material with its innovative covers. Opening for the Asthmatics were the Semi-Demigods.
Yes.
Yeah, so
Sean, yes. Did we have a van that went down there to the Semi-Demigods went down, but I thought we all also piled in the back of a van.
That happened a lot.
Yeah. I specifically remember that one because there was like, for some reason, there were seats in the way back. And so a bunch of us were just
about right.
Yeah. Surfing on instruments. Yeah. Yeah.
Just getting crushed by a bass amp.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, wagons were the thing when we were younger.
Wagons were great, but this was a van. It was
wild. You know, they didn't have SUVs yet. So we had vans and wagons.
I remember the wagons, you'd be facing backwards too, at least the one I had growing up. So like me and my brother as kids would be facing the back and cars would come up behind us and we'd be like making faces. And
flip them off.
In your face the whole ride.
Anyway, I brought that up because I went to high school with those guys and, you know, Joel and Jay were in the Semi-Demigods with Brandon. I was a big fan. I love those guys. I can't find that tape anywhere. I know I have it. I just have no idea where it is.
Big Cheese anyway, Wagon or Bumble. Oh, dude. There's so many.
Oh, so good. Yeah. So those guys broke up because Brandon ended up moving away. Mm. And then one day I was already friends with those dudes. And one day Joel came up to me. He was like, hey, you want to start a band? I said, yeah, why not? I said, I can't play anything. I'm not a musician in any way, shape, or form. He's like, all right, you'll sing then.
Said, yeah. Yes.
And then he recruited Joe on bass. I don't believe Joe played bass before that.
I think that was his first.
I'm a bass player now. And so then Joel and Jay, having previously been in that band, they already had a rapport together. And, you know, they're both amazing musicians, obviously.
Yeah.
So like just going in and going to those first band practices, it was super intimidating. I'm like, Jesus Christ, these guys actually know what to do. It's unreal. Yes, we started like, you know, the idea was to start being a band since the Semi-Demigods weren't around anymore. And we were friends with the Asthmatics and stuff. And we're like, all right, well, let's start doing this. And then I think it was Jay said, hey, there's a talent show in 2 weeks. We're like, all right, guess we're playing a show. We better start writing some songs and figuring stuff out. Kind of under the gun, and that ended up becoming like a lot of those songs became the basis of our first tape. And we just were hammering them out. I mean, what else did we have to do, right? Yeah. Like, cool. And then like I don't know, I wasn't doing my homework. I wasn't.
You were writing classics, my man. You were writing classics,
and then going bowling at Imperial.
Oh, dude, I love that Imperial is reopened. It's under a different name and it's not Candlepin anymore, but I'm glad it's reopened. It's cool. It's not a dispensary like Ken's is now. Yeah.
Oh, poor Ken's.
Yeah, man. I guess they must have offered them a fortune to buy it and just bulldoze it and put in the whole.
Yeah.
And the building was in rough shape, though, too.
Oh, was it?
Ken's was, yeah.
I hadn't been in a long time. I remember when there was... you know, in addition to Ken's and Imperial, there were two different candlepin lanes on North Street as well.
Yes. Yep.
One was upstairs. I think it closed over COVID, like a couple of years ago. I didn't realize it was going.
It lasted up until COVID?
The dude had, I think he had cancer, and then he decided he was going to retire.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was still going. I had to imagine it was done like the early 2000s, but nope.
I mean, if they had to be a drug front, right? Like, there's no way it's
rolling alley. No. The high school is a drug front. That was legit business.
Always has been.
we're buying musical equipment. Sure.
I know, right? In high school, like the teachers and the staff were always kind of nasty. I felt to like the punk rock kids and shit. They should have been looking at the staff, man. They were the ones selling the coke. They're like, hey, stop smoking cigarettes outside the building. You're like, all right. I mean, if I was sniffing coke inside the building, you'd be fine. But
they gave us detentions because they wanted to see more of us. I mean, it was fine.
I mean, it was pretty wild back then too. I remember, you guys remember it? Actually, maybe I shouldn't even mention his name. Never mind. I actually shouldn't say that story.
That sounds like a juicy story then.
It's not. I just don't want to get him in trouble if I say his name.
Well, let me ask you something, Sean.
How about name redacted?
Oh, that's true. We can do name redacted too. Okay.
Yeah, if you want to redact his name, that's fine. Okay, yeah. So we were in one of the classrooms at PHS. It was one of the ones that were, you know, there's no windows or anything, and we dared him to smoke a bowl in class, and he did. For whatever reason, like, the teacher didn't say anything. Like, the whole dunk is like,
it's fine.
I think the statute of limitations run out on that one.
Well, I don't know. I actually don't know what he's up to anymore. So.
Yeah. Well, people all the time tried to make bowls in pottery class. Mr. was always catching kids because one of the punk rock kids, I think it was in your grade, got away with it. Like, he made like this intricate like statue. And then he broke the head off, and it was a bowl. And whoa, so, a couple kids in my grade kept trying to make them, but really good at spotting them. He called them smokers, and I still remember we're in class, and I'm like to one of the kids, and I'm like, "Dude, don't do it." And he's like, "It's gonna work." I'm like, "Lep's gonna catch you." 2 minutes into inspecting this thing, hey, is this a smoker? He's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, it is. I'm just laughing hysterically. And he's like, I'm going to let you redo this project or I'm going to go to the principal with it.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
That's got to be like the most common thing to do in pottery classes all throughout every high school in the country.
Oh, I was going to say, everyone people used to make dicks all the time. When I
was going to say dicks. That's got to be number two. It's got to be
dicks or smokers. Like, that's it.
Dicks and ashtrays. That's all I made. I'm like, what am I getting on this? See, I'll take it.
That's amazing.
This is the best looking dildo you've ever seen. Come on.
Look at the veins on that shaft.
That's right. He'd always be like, you can make one ashtray a semester, and it's always going to be a max of a C. I'll take it. I got an easy C right here. Thank
yeah.
20.
So one thing I remember from when I was a kid and all the punks were hanging out, was everyone hanging out behind your Monskis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember like going there a couple of times as a kid and just like standing around.
Oh, that's what we did all the time.
We got kicked out of there more often than most of the other places. I feel like they were always upset.
The gas station was right next door. It was food and water. That's all we needed.
And cigarettes.
And cigarettes. I mean, mostly cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I mean, the two steps there was pretty good to skate on too. So
yeah.
Yeah. And they hit the railing there too.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah.
I remember we were hanging out one night in front of Sip of Seattle and one of the dudes on it, you know, we generally like when we were down there, we didn't damage the property too much, you know? And you know, not to give them a reason to kick us out, you know, because it was just like a horde of kids hanging out.
There was so many.
Yeah.
And one time this kid was trying to do a trick on his skateboard in front of Sip of Seattle, sent his board sailing through the plate glass window, completely scattered it. And we all just looked at each other and were like, yeah, all right, I guess we got to go.
Back here.
You're not getting your board back, dude.
I've seen photos of this, but I'm wondering if you have any firsthand.
I know. I think I know what you're going to say.
The billboard.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I knew about this. I remember when the individual who did it was planning it. We were in the same grade. He's a friend of mine. So there was this billboard on top of that building. What's the name of it now? Juice and Java. And, what was the other store? There was like a hippie store.
Dead Ahead.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the comic book store was still there at the time. They may have been on North Street still, but yeah. So there was a billboard on top, and it said it was just black, and it looked like those Got Milk billboards, but it said "Need directions, God." You know, attributed the quote to God. It was just white lettering on a black billboard, and this individual was able to climb up there. It's super easy to get up there, and using black paint changed the billboard to say "Need erections, God." We scored some photos of it the next day. That was so funny. I think it actually was up for a couple of days before it got taken down.
Yeah.
That was amazing. That was so funny. And you couldn't miss it. It's not like the billboard. Yeah.
And if you're going right across from Sacred Heart. So I think on church.
Oh, that's right.
I think that's when it got caught. Right. Finally, was that somebody was probably standing at the church and looked across the street and saw it and said, "Oh shit."
I thought it was on purpose, to be honest. I was like, wow, yeah, they're really more they're going people at
the Sacred Heart. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wow, this must be from BMC. Like, you know, hey,
like I do
Flynn's Pharmacy. Need erections? Come to Flynn's.
Wow, Pfizer's advertising campaign.
I mean,
Pfizer's got the big guy now.
No, that was amazing. Yeah, yeah. That was definitely up for at least a day or two. That was funny as hell.
Were there ever any all brother bands?
Oh. Like Hanson?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely all brother bands in the world.
No. In your
there,
basement.
There was not to my knowledge. I think, like, Sean's a solid amount older than me, so by the time I would be even able to play an instrument, I think you already moved out, right, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I moved out when I was 18, so yes, you were 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, around there. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think the individual, like you and Pat, were you and Pat in a band together?
No, we never were. I don't even know if we ever jammed together. Like, I would hang out with Pat when he'd play guitar and stuff, but
yeah.
But no, like, and Pat's an incredible guitar player for sure.
Absolutely.
He still plays too. He's really good. And his daughter is very good as well. She was performing a song for us around Christmas time. It was like,
right on.
Hey, man, runs in the family. But yeah, no, like we would hang out, but no, we never did a band together. And Mike, I don't think you were ever in any bands. Was Matt? Oh, Matt was in a band, right?
Yeah,
he was in Rasputin.
Yeah, Rasputin. Yeah, right. With Aya and someone else. I forgot who.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I was never.
You were never in any bands?
I wasn't. No, I just played around when I was a kid. Like, you know, bands you did with fake instruments or whatever with friends. But I was never in any actual bands. I would jam around with folks every once in a while. But I was never too good at guitar or bass when I was younger, fortunately.
Well, I mean, it's punk rock. You don't need to be. Yeah.
I was gonna say, neither are most of these guys.
Basically, you just need an amp. And
you're like, hey, can you play in time? No. Okay, you're fine. Just go. Yep. Stand over there and plug in.
If you have a drum set, you're recruited to be in 6 different bands.
Oh, 100%.
The one thing I'd say, Sean, is that, like, yeah, we weren't in bands together, but we have made songs together, all the brothers, and it's usually about our dad.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we wrote a rap song about our dad. So
right.
It was on MySpace. We made a MySpace page for our dad. Wrote a song about him. We did it in his voice. That's very funny.
Yeah, we make a lot of songs mocking him. It's fun.
If your family had an anthem, what would it be?
Oh, gee. I mean, now it's the Bluey theme, but
hell yeah, it's a good theme.
I actually don't know. We like all like, yeah. I don't know.
Crimp Shrine or something.
Yeah. We all love Crimp Shrine. Yeah.
Nice.
Probably a Crimp Shrine song.
Hell yeah.
Butterfly is a great one.
Yeah. So when I was in Samurai Fallout, we had a homage to your father also.
Oh, did you really?
I'm going to say Stone Cold.
That's right.
It was awesome. He was one of my favorite people in this world. And your dad is an incredible human being. Absolutely love him.
He's a character. Yeah, Bill, when I was going through my stuff the other day, I did find my Samurai Fallout tape. I do have
that. Yeah.
It's around here somewhere. I forget. It's numbered, too. I got the number on
it.
Oh,
damn.
I was going to say, I found they still have a website posted that has lyrics and some photos and stuff. And since I couldn't find any recordings, I put a couple of the songs into an AI song generator. They're pretty good.
So are the lyrics on the webpage still vandalized to reference Matt S. every
100%? Yes, they are.
When he did that, man, that was so funny. He got the password to your webpage, like GeoCities or something, or maybe it was iPod. And he got the password and went on and vandalized all the lyrics to reference him. And then changed the password. I don't think he ever gave the password back.
He never did.
It's amazing. I still have Stone Cold, the rattlesnake, Stone Cold, Matt S. It's amazing. A very funny prank.
Sean, can I ask you a question? Because this came up. You kind of started this. I think it was an Instagram mentioning Illinois Jacket. And it kind of set us down that path to getting that interview and learning more about it. And I've been kind of looking forward to this too, because I want to kind of get, you were there, right? Like I wasn't there when Illinois Jacket played, and I kind of was hoping you could shed a little bit more light on it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Illinois Jacket is my favorite Pittsfield band for sure. I mean, a lot of great bands have come out of Pittsfield, and I don't know, you hate to say like, one thing's your favorite more than another, but that's the band that I listen to the most is Illinois Jacket for sure. When they came out, I think it was Mikey gave me their tape, and not you, Mikey, Mikey, Justin's brother.
Yeah.
He gave me their tape, and I put it in my Walkman, and it was one of those moments like you hit play and it's like, whoa. It starts off with the introduction because, like, you know, they're Illinois Jacket, and that's the play on the name of the jazz musician Illinois Jacket. So it's their tape 1 o'clock jump starts off with the introduction from an Illinois Jacket album of, like, you know, and joining us is Illinois Jacket, and then and it's like, whoa, what on earth? That band is so good, man. Yeah. And you know, so that just blew my mind when I heard that tape, and I was like, I gotta see these guys. And you know, Pittsfield, you know, so they're around. Like, it's not like you hear, a Taylor Swift album, and you go, man, gotta go on the air tour. You know, it's like, these guys are in Pittsfield. Like, you go check them out. So going to those shows, like, they were so tight, and like Justin was saying on his episode of your show. They like definitely were influenced by jazz stuff, and you can hear it in their music. Like, I don't know, man, it was really ahead of its time. Yeah. And it holds up, and it still almost sounds like, I don't know. It doesn't really sound like anything that's out there even now. Like, it's a really unique sound for hardcore. The only other bands that really sounded like that, like, were 1.6 band, that were mentioned on there, who played in Pittsfield. They were awesome. I was at that show at Rebel Sound Records. I have the t-shirt up in my closet.
Right on. Nice.
That show is great. And like Swing Kids sounded like them, I guess. Mm. They were Swing Kids was a little thrashier, but yeah, like so that band ruled, man. And like their shows were really great. We all went to that show they played in Albany at the Loft. I forget which part of Albany it was in, but it was like, it was just a loft, and like, it looked like an old warehouse, and it was them, and Los Crudos was the headliner. And, you know, being a huge Crudos fan too, like, that was mind blowing. Yes. It was like, oh my God, I get to see Crudos.
Oh my God.
And who else played that? I think Hail Mary played as well, who were really good. And, And I think Devoid of Faith may have played. But it was like, it was just a killer lineup. Every band was incredible. And Illinois Jacket was just like just as good as every other band. And it was so cool seeing, you know, a Pittsfield band do all that stuff. You know, and like I was saying before we started too, you had that episode with Ryan, and he was talking about, you know, trying to find some of the recordings. And I sent him a message. I have a DVD Dom gave me 20 years ago. It's circa 2005 on the back. It's everything they ever recorded and four like VHS recordings of four shows. And it was like, there was the City Hall show was on there.
Yes. Dude, that was the first show I went to.
Is that right? That was your first show? Awesome. That's
me and my best friend at Taconic almost got caught by the train tracks smoking weed, and then we made it for Illinois Jacket, and I was so stoked. I was like, yo, this is wild.
That was your first show? That's a hell of a
That was my first show. Yeah, dude. I was this is wild. Because I think we were freshmen at Taconic at the time.
Nice.
Like the steps of City Hall. I just can't get over steps of Pittsfield City Hall being
venue
for this.
Yeah, it was a good show. That wasn't the only show they had there, too. I remember there being I forget who else played, but there was another show there.
Oh.
I don't know why. I'm like, it's a weird thing. And there was also, I remember, I grew up really into skateboarding. Like, I got into skateboarding in the 80s and, like, you know, I still skateboard, continued through.
Hell yeah.
They had an event where they shut down part of North Street in front of, God, where was it? I think it may have been in front of the museum, but they shut down the street and they had bands play and they set up like skateboard, like obstacles. There was like a little rail and a little jump ramp and stuff. This had to be 95. And they had band, again, like it was just a one-off, like it never happened again, but I don't know who put it on. I don't know why the city allowed it, but it was cool. Like a bunch of hardcore bands played. I remember one of them was Withstand from Troy, which I think is members, if I'm remembering correctly, it's members of Pushbutton Warfare.
Wow.
They were really good. One of their tapes is up on JHP Media. Some other hardcore bands played, but I just remember like being like, "Yeah, man, this is cool as hell. I hope this keeps happening." Never happened again.
I feel like that happens with a lot of punk venues. Like punk bands go to one venue and then they're like, "Oh, what did I sign up for here?" And there's some random spots too. Like that was going to be my next pivot. Is you know, when I was more of a teenager, it was Source of the Nile where we all the shows.
Oh, yeah.
And Source of the Nile was just so random because it was, I think it was a pawn shop or like an antique store or something. And I remember going early and just getting all the shit and then putting it in the basement and then starting the show. And I was like, why do they allow this? Why are they okay with it?
I never went to Source of the Nile. That was after my time. I wish I did. Like
it was that was cool. An incredible.
It was legit. Yeah.
I mean, that band Fucked Up still talks about it. They're like, Pittsfield, man, this shit was crazy.
Well, so what are some of your other favorite venues to go to in the Berkshires in the Pittsfield area?
The one that hasn't been mentioned on your show, and I took a bunch of notes. I'm holding it up to the camera in my BCC notepad.
Nice. Represent.
One of the venues that hasn't been mentioned on here was the Meze Cafe in Williamstown.
Shit.
Yeah. If you go to the store at Five Corners and take a right, you go down along that windy sort of road and like, you know, there's the river there.
A 43,
ways down, there was this like, it was a fancy restaurant. And I don't know how shows ended up being booked there, but we played a couple times there. And the owner loved us. Like she loved the bands. She loved the Pan of Lunatics in particular. Some of our best shows. It was fun as hell.
Quick question for you. Was that like across the street from Hot Tomatoes?
No, like that's where it is now. Like there was nothing like where Meze was at the old location burned down, I believe.
Yeah, now Meze is a little bit
it's on 7 to now. A punk show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the left heading in, right?
Right. Yeah, like I don't remember there being anything else there. It was just like
I thought we grabbed pizza or something. during one show. But yeah, dude, they loved you guys, and it was so fun. It was, and it had a cool, just like a cool little, had a little riser, right?
Yeah,
and we got to dance around. Yeah, dude, that was so fun.
Yeah, Joe has Joe W has pictures from some of those shows, and
really,
he's got a really good one where we're all on the back porch of the Meze Cafe, and someone walked down the embankment towards the river and took a picture, and like it's everybody that was at the show with their hands up cheering. <We'll go. laughs> Yeah, I really don't know how those shows ended up happening, but I'm glad they did. Those were some of the best shows we played. That was so much fun. None of us like drove or had cars at the time, so getting to Williamstown was a pain in the ass.
Adventure, yeah.
But Sean, it was cool. Glad we did.
Sean, I got a quick question for you. Mentioning the Pan of Lunatics. The first record, like, all right, this is going to be very geeky, but like some of the inspiration, because like you were saying, like that was my favorite record to listen to. Like just,
oh
like,
really?
Yeah, dude. So like cool. I Killed the Princess of Wales, and just like it was just. It's still to this day when I'm walking my route, I get Pez 413 stuck in my head, man. It was just such a good little sing along song. And like, everything was quintessential sing-along songs for me. I'm like,
that's great.
And maybe it's because we practiced like,
we did shared
band practice. Exactly. Yeah. But I was like,
we'd wrestle outside.
In my head, absolutely.
Band practice is over. Time to wrestle.
Yeah. Nitro party.
That's so much fun. That was a great time. Oh, what was your question?
How recording it? Like, did you guys have like a 4-track or like how did that come together?
That one we recorded. Jeff S had gotten a 4-track somewhere along the way, and he was recording. He was doing like, I remember him practicing with it at like different bands' band practices and like. Yeah. Just to like, you know, just to get recordings and to work out songs and stuff. And we hit a point where we wanted to, you know, record what we had. And, you know, it's good to, I mean, if for nothing else, just so we didn't forget how to play the songs, you know, because you know how it is like when you're
doing
checklists and stuff, things come in and out of rotation. I remember a number of occasions where songs we hadn't played in a while, we'd come back to try and revisit them and we're like, how does this go? What were the lyrics? what is this? So if for nothing else, just to get it recorded so we can figure it out later on. And so Jeff recorded that on his 4-track. And I think that one we recorded in Jay's basement because Warriors from the Wasteland we recorded at Ryan C's house. Before he moved... before they moved to where they have the farm and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a
B&B. It was called Chanticleer.
Yeah. It's classy. Way too classy for us.
Yeah. Yeah, we recorded the Warriors from the Wasteland there. And I believe the first one was in Jay's basement. And yeah, like, we just wanted to get that stuff recorded and out there. Like I said, we wrote a lot of those songs really quickly because we had to get it out there. We're like, we have a show to play. We gotta write some songs, man.
Banger after banger after banger. I mean, QLG.
Oh,
classic.
Geez. Yeah, lyrics that hold up. That's for sure. No, yeah, man. No, thanks so much. Like, I know
you guys. I love that record so much.
You guys have had a couple of people on your show who've said nothing but like nice things about us, and you know, it's great. It makes me feel nice. Like, you know, thanks to everybody who said nice things. You know, I certainly didn't think that. You know, 27 years later, I'd be talking about it. Very happy. Happy it brought joy to people's lives and people like it and stuff. It's great. I wish I had a copy of it. I don't have any of the tapes. I have our 7-inch, but
I've got it.
Oh, you do? Do you have a digital copy?
Yeah, I have them all in MP3. I can send them to you.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear that.
I've got both Panel Lunatics and I have Thought Crime.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
So we have, so we did the sessions for the session for the 7-inch. We recorded at the College of St. Rose with Eric from People's Choice because he went to school there at the time. And we recorded the three songs that made it onto the 7-inch. And we also did two or three other songs that didn't make it onto the 7-inch, you know, just because of time. And I don't know who has those now. Joe might have them, but they're out there. We have there's unreleased Thought Crime material out in the
yes!
world.
Yes! Oh, I got to find it.
Yeah, we're going to do a special 25th anniversary re-release.
Yes!
Speaking of re-releases, if you could get any three bands back together for a show of any era, of any genre, of local-ish things, what would you each pick?
Oh, man, for me, it would be it'd be Wish. Absolutely. I love Wish. That 7-inch is incredible. The two songs on there, it's those are as good as any other pop punk record that has ever come out. That 7-inch is amazing. And I had never heard any of the other Wish stuff until our friend over at JHP Media put all that stuff up online. I was like, oh my God. And this was mentioned in Justin's episode. He was talking about how Matt was really into the Grateful Dead. I'm an enormous Deadhead. I love the Grateful Dead. I've been into them for a million years. I flew to the Sphere this summer to go see Dead and Company. So when I heard that Wish did multiple Grateful Dead covers, I was like, what worlds are colliding here? It's amazing. So I devoured all that stuff that was put up there. So definitely Wish. I love Wish. Illinois Jacket, I would love to see them again. Like I said, I've seen them a number of times, but, you know, seeing them again would be great. And then, I'd love to see, it's hard to narrow it down to three because I'd love to see Beat Machine again. I only got to see Lampstand once. Lampstand was incredible.
That was another one I stole from my brother.
Yeah, I have, I don't know how I came across it. I have a digital copy of Padiddle King. I was just listening to it the other day. It holds up. It's great.
Hell yeah.
Lampstand, The Beat Machine, Samurai Fallout, just because we played so many, we played together all the time. We had all the joint practices. That's just
so fun.
It was so much fun, man.
It's so fun. You're all
so cool. Just hanging out. There's some of the best times ever, just hanging out, dicking around. Do you remember Brian T came over? He was going to join one of our bands.
Yeah.
And he got so exasperated because he was an actual musician. And we were just it was just nonsense. And he's like, I thought I was coming to a band practice, not a song. And I love Brian T. He's a great guy.
Hell yeah.
I haven't seen him in forever too. I'd love to run into him. But it was so funny because I think he was expecting something completely different.
Yeah.
We're wrestling and listening to records, not playing music at all.
No. An hour and a half and nobody played a fucking instrument.
It's they don't do this in Southdown. No.
We would go on to Jeff S. was an early adopter of those. Do you remember this? He was an early adopter of those wrestling message boards. So we would go
off,
find out what was going to happen on Raw that week.
Yeah, exactly. That's dude. I mean, look at Samurai Fallout. 90% of the lyrics are wrestling lyrics.
That was peak Monday Night Wars.
Oh, too. So good. It was so good.
Oh, yeah. So for sure. Number three is Samurai Fallout. I love Samurai Fallout.
Do you remember
Avalon, take me back.
Yeah. Dude, do you remember Oyster singing along to NWO? And I think he was thinking of a different NWO because the dude looked like the shaved head in Ryan C's basement.
I don't remember him.
Oh, dude, it was weird. I don't even know if I could say this kid's name because it's very unique.
Oh, okay.
M asked him where he got his patch, and he's like, this is from Germany. It's like, whoa. No, nobody actually knew who he was, but I do remember you gave me a sharpshooter, and I dressed up as Raven in that show. It's a solid show.
Sharpshooter?
Yeah, dude, it was so good. I still got to finish the Song of Babylon, though, so it was rad.
I love that these people, like professional wrestlers, spend their entire lives training for this jerk profession and like learning how to do these moves without hurting people. And then we're just dickhead teenagers doing moves on each other that could break your neck, break your back. And we're like, oh yeah, let's do the sharpshooter. That's safe.
Middle of the set.
Yeah, I'm going to tombstone you off this picnic table. Stand still.
The show going on. Sharpshooter.
Don't tense your back too much. You'll be fine.
Mike, I think razor's edge multiple times.
Oh. Yeah, I was definitely thrown around a lot. I don't know the wrestling moves, but there was there's a lot. I was definitely a test subject to him.
Mike, was that you that Charles lifted up and put your head through the ceiling?
It was I think it was Pat who did that. Yeah, I think so. I don't remember. I mean, obviously we're kids,
well, if you don't remember,
but I remember the hole in the ceiling. Yeah.
So what would your three be?
What would my three be? I couldn't even answer this. Like I said, I was so young during the scene that all I remember is like seeing some of the band names on the flyers and, you know, hearing them play in the basement. So I'm not as familiar with all the Pittsfield punk bands.
No, but you have to be able to, like, I don't know any of these fucking bands they're talking about. I was hopeful that you were going to give me something I knew.
I wasn't. I was like kind of in the scene as a teenager, but not that much. And I haven't been around in a while. I haven't lived in Pittsfield since I was like 18. So,
yeah.
Do you want to name three you never want to see? Based on this conversation we had, I think Samurai Fallout's high on that list.
Yeah, Mike, you went to some of the girls' club shows, right?
Think so. When was that?
2000, 2001.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think so. Again, my memory is so foggy with that. But, like I was 8 or 9 years old. I don't remember. There's like certain things that stand out, like the Blank 77 show and wearing the robot mask and things like
that. No, I forget that you're like 10 years younger than me, you know, because we're adults now, you know. Yeah. But yeah, the difference between me being a teenager and you being like not even 10 is pretty substantial.
Yeah.
Cause I don't remember shit from when I was like 8, you know?
Yeah.
So, cause I'm trying to get the order of you guys right. Cause I know Pat's my age.
Yeah.
So I know Sean, and then is the other brother, which is not you, Mike, is he the youngest?
He's older than me. Matt is like 2 years older than me.
Okay. Yeah. See, I always thought Matt was the youngest all out of the four of you guys. Is there another one hiding somewhere in the lurch that I don't know about? Like it was like our buddy Brian L, who was always like talking to hot chicks. They were like, dude, who are these? Oh, that's my sister. But how many gorgeous sisters do you have? Like, for the love of God. Not that he was, you know, he was a good looking guy too, but you're like, look at his sister. Every time I'm turning around, you're talking to these older ladies, man. Oh, it's my sister.
It kind of sounds like, Mike, you weren't so much choosing to go to these shows, but being taken along to them. Did you ever feel scared or uncomfortable, or were you highly protected because of the elite family you came from? What was your take? Also, were you at a show that we were at very recently, or am I fever dreaming that?
No, that was Matt.
That was Matt.
Oh, it was one of them, though. Okay.
All right. Yeah, Matt's in Pittsfield still, so he's probably
okay. That makes more sense.
Those shows,
And Devin plays in that band, right?
He
lived across the street from us for
a while. Yes.
Yeah. Devin's one of the kids I like, you know, messed around with we'd have instruments and try to play and not be very good at it. But yeah, Devin continued it and he's very talented and just killing it right now.
He's good, man. He was always a good musician.
Yeah. I think Devin's still putting on shows at Hot Plate in Pittsfield.
Yeah, we just did an interview with him and Payton, and he's killing it. Like, he's just incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, awesome. He's a good dude.
The Halloween show was so fun.
That's making me think of this weekend. We were driving through New Lebanon and Dead Ahead, right? That's in New Lebanon. And we were having this whole conversation about, remember when you used to go in there and you'd have to discuss your tobacco use of your water pipe very strategically. And there were like all these words that you couldn't say.
Yeah.
God, I remember that. You know what's funny about going over to New Lebanon, like eight years ago, you couldn't buy beer in Massachusetts on Sunday.
Yes.
So, yeah. So we would drive over the mountain to go over the border here on Sundays.
Hell yeah.
I won't say who I was with, but we would go and buy beer there and then drink them riding over the mountain.
My dad did that all the time. He talked about it when the drinking age changed here and it was still 18 in New York. He's like, we used to just fly over,
yeah,
get wasted over there and fly back. I'm like, how I was ever born and you didn't die is amazing.
Yeah, our parents talked
very
about
smart
that
behavior. Very good things to do.
It was illegal in Massachusetts for a tattoo shop too, but there was a tattoo shop in that same
plaza there. Peter Tattoo.
Yeah, but I turned, when I did turn 18, Massachusetts did legalize tattooing. So
the turn of the century.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. 1900.
You and Margaret Thatcher got a tattoo that said, forever young.
Peter Tattoo over there, right? Wasn't that the one that opened up right on North to start too?
Yeah. I think it was 2000. They opened Peter Tattoo and Intradermal right, like competing on North Street.
Yeah, I thought Lefties was there. I thought Lefties was the first one in Pittsfield.
Oh,
was it?
On Tyler?
Those two were the first on North Street. I'm not sure if that was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When was Crazy Chameleon?
Oh, because they were.
They were there before.
Yeah.
They were doing piercings for a long time.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. Because Elm Street represents.
I had to go over the border to Connecticut to get it done because it was illegal in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
It was illegal in Massachusetts?
Yeah, man. Up until someone.
2000, I think, right?
2000, yeah.
I think on the nose. And then the weird thing was in 2000 when they legalized it, there was very minimal restrictions, which I thought was crazy. I was 16 and I went with a parent's signature to get my first tattoo.
Did you really?
They took a signature?
This is your mom's signature. Signature. They were like, sure, this is your mom's signature.
No, my mom came in. She's like, I don't give a fuck. Here you go.
Wow. What did you get?
I got an Alkaline Trio tattoo.
You got the Air Jordan tattoo. Didn't you get the Nike swoosh?
Oh, nice.
No, I'm kidding. That was when they were over the border. I remember going with my brother one day.
Oh, Jesus.
And there was that kid that his name was Jordan. So he got the Nike swoosh and it said Air Jordan under it. And I was like, you tattooed that on that? And the guy's like, easiest $100 I ever made.
What?
And I was like, oh, I guess that's a good point.
Speaking of nostalgic Pittsfield, and this doesn't need to be entirely nostalgic. It could be current. Best pizza in Pittsfield.
Oh, Sean loves this topic. I mean, if I had to say, I'd say East Side Pizza.
Right on.
I have a 1A and a 1B.
Okay, here we go.
1A is East Side because, like, I mean, East Side is, there's almost nothing out there. It's pretty great. What's that?
Nothing. He'll just dock you.
You waited until
I've
now?
Been trying that was a good hard. Run. Not to do it all night.
I
don't think it's really a big deal.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, did you call me Pants?
No. I did, yes. The Pants, no.
My buddy Sully still calls me Pants. It's been like 30 years.
What's 1B, Sean?
One B is Tyler Street Pizza House, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I love Tyler Street.
Yeah, I mean, because it was pretty close to us growing up, so we would get it all the time. I love Tyler Street Pizza House.
So good.
And, you know, when we would get that too, when the squat was like right behind it and like, you know, you could hang out and, you know, if you're passing by Tyler Street Pizza House on the way to the squat, get some pizza. Did you guys ever go to the squat? Like,
no, I mean, Elm Street. So
yeah. No, there was an abandoned house on the street behind Tyler Street Pizza House that, a couple of punk rockers moved into, and we would go in there at night and party and stuff. We would take, we'd take touring bands up there. Like the Useless Fucks would come through and hang out. And there was no electricity or water or anything. So it was filthy and disgusting, but it's a fun place to hang out.
Hell yeah. And pizza.
Yep.
Awesome pizza.
It was weird. Like it was an abandoned house. So all the stuff was still in there. Like there were still pictures on the wall and shit. It's like, oh yeah, people lived here. This is weird. And we're just like hanging out and partying in the attic.
You know? So we've got your Pittsfield pizza info, but I have heard this rumor through the years that you have very strong feelings on another Pittsfield establishment. And I don't know the origin stories, but I would love to hear your thoughts on La Choza.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard you guys talk about this on the pod. I hadn't thought about La Choza in a very long time. La Choza was good, man.
La Choza was great.
I remember it being really good. And I believe that was the first like mission style burrito you could get around here. It was either that or Taco Bell, right? Like
La Choza. There wasn't much choice.
Yeah, you could go to Northampton and go to Bueno Isano, but
yeah,
which is great.
That's
afternoon. You go to the comic book museum and spend the afternoon there, get some burritos afterwards. You have a good time.
Well, it actually wasn't originally in Northampton. It was originally Cha Cha Cha. It became Bueno, I think, in like 2004.
Was it? Really?
The Amherst was
the first, but it was Cha-Cha-Cha, and it was a pretty seamless transition because Cha-Cha-Cha made pretty similar burritos.
I was going to say, I don't remember it being Cha-Cha-Cha, so that's a pretty seamless transition.
Hey, Sean, let me ask you this too.
Buenos is the best.
What do you think of Moxie Cola?
Oh,
fuck.
Oh, boy. So I appreciate it for what it is, but it tastes like medicine, man.
Thank you. Suck it, Joe.
You know what? It seems like it's an acquired taste. If you go to Maine, it's everywhere. Yeah. Like it's the official beverage of Maine.
Yeah, but that's because they got stuck with it. Like I've been to Maine before and no one there likes it. And it's like, they're like, well, it's the official beverage. And it's if the official beverage jumps off a bridge, you all going to jump?
No. Did you try it with a Whoopie Pie though?
Me?
No,
because Whoopie pies
don't like
are good.
Chocolate, so I won't eat a Whoopie pie. But
they have different Whoopie pies though. Oh, they'll do pumpkin ones. They'll do red velvet. Man,
sounds like we're talking about like hanging out in the '50s or something.
We got some Moxie and
that's Maine.
Hey, let's go see a talkie.
Went to my brother's house last week and he had Moxie, and I did think of getting you some, Andy, and leaving it on your front porch.
If it was left there, I probably would have texted the group and been like, who the fuck?
Don't mind it. I'll take it.
This.
Back to La Choza.
Yeah, thank you.
What was cool about La Choza, so I really enjoyed the burritos. I thought the burritos were great, but they had shows there and they had good shows there. For being like a weird little venue, like this, I saw this band Max Creek play there, who is a pretty big band.
Max Creek is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. They're a great band and they're pretty big. Like they play like decent sized venues and they were playing in little ass La Choza, and I'm watching them like, oh, right. This is pretty cool, man. Again, not sure how that came about, but that I went. I don't think they ever had a punk or a hardcore show, but they definitely had live music while they were still there. Yeah, I went to a couple shows there. I think I saw Reverend Tor there. I don't know. I think he's still around.
A couple of Mike L's bands played there, like
Really?
The Ending and some other ones like that. Ending. I have pictures of a burrito show that they played.
It was kind of a flash in the pan, wasn't it? Was it only there for a couple of years, or was it there for longer than I?
Maybe three or four years.
Yeah.
Was it that long? Wow.
I feel like,
I remember after the last youth fest we played, ended the set with "See You at La Choza."
I would say like 01 to 05 is probably the core time.
Okay.
Maybe even 02 to 06, somewhere around there.
Oh, so they overlapped with Hot Harry's then?
Just barely.
Yeah. Oh, because I was going to say, I liked La Choza a lot. I thought La Choza was great. Hot Harry's eats through the lunch. Hot Harry's is fantastic.
Yeah. Yes, Hot Harry's. Yeah. Hot Harry's is hit or miss lately.
Is it really? I haven't been
which Hot Harry's Andy. Going to,
Andy? I literally had to ask these guys to not go to Hot Harry's the next time we hang out in a group chat because we go there so often. And I used to work on North Street, basically, and I would go there far too often as it was. But every time they want to hang out, they're like, let's go to Hot Harry's. I'm like, there are other restaurants.
We go to Papa Joe's or Hot Harry's. What do you think?
Those are the only two that we know.
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
All right, so we're going to Eastside next time. We're going to switch it up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of Angelina's as well. I try and get Angelina's. If I'm back in Pittsfield, I definitely try and pick up Angelina's.
I love
their sandwiches. It's great. And Angelina's started one town over from me here in Lynn.
The city of sin.
Yeah, Lynn, the city of sin. They're over by the TV there. The original location is still open.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, you don't close a gem like that.
No. You know? I've known this fact, and I've lived here for 15 years. I've never been. I should go. Closer than going to Pittsfield.
All that tells you if it's the same or not, if we got the good one or the bad one.
True.
Which location do you hit up?
Let me ask you this, Sean. Gotcha question here. Has the Lynn Angelinas ever been pissed on by a priest?
Probably.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to answer yes.
Yeah. Chances are high.
Does that get the demons out or something?
No, it's just Pittsfield Elm Street lore.
I don't think I know this story. That's pretty amazing.
Google it. It is in the local papers.
This isn't like a made up. This is
It's real.
This really happened. Yeah.
This priest got drunk. He was very mean. The pink church priest, my church.
Oh, yeah.
And then so they're like, no, we're not going to serve you. You got to go. And then he just peed on the building and they called the cops. And, you know, the cops were like, you can't do that. And he's like, I didn't know. It's like, I didn't know
I couldn't piss.
The power of Christ compels me.
Yeah. I'm a priest. They're like, you can't be peeing on a building on Elm Street.
When did it become illegal to pee on the building? What the hell?
Do you tell me, officer, where does it say I can't pee there? Oh, it does. In the law.
In the Bible. That's not to do in the Bible.
Could have been holy water. We don't know.
Someone once vandalized a sign to say God erections, and I'm mad about it 30 years later.
No, it's
neuromycetosis poisoning. Yes.
So we've established that priests were not able to pee on buildings. We also established before the podcast that I knew the family growing up from a family member living next door. And I'm a little curious about like your family rules. Did you have a rule that you couldn't pee on buildings? Did you have strict parents? Did you have unbelievably lenient parents? I sort of know a little bit of the answer to this question, but I'm sure the viewers are very curious how we ended up with you four.
for Pat and I, they were pretty strict growing up, and we just caused a lot of trouble, the two of us. And then by the time Matt and Mike were older, they had basically given up, right, Mike?
Yeah, they let me do whatever I wanted. They didn't care. Like, I remember Dad waiting up for you guys to get home at night, and he'd be in the living room like with the light off, and he'd walk in and be like, "You stoned?" me, he didn't care. Like, I was just out all night and would just get home, and he didn't give a shit. So yeah, much easier for me.
Well, you know, because your brother Pat, he did get kicked out of our history class for writing his notes in blood when he forgot his.
Allegedly.
That'll happen, man. Probably can't, like, I mean, maybe he was writing a contract. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good class. I don't know what the principal had to do with it, you know? I can't. What are you doing? It's like, I thought that was being very creative. He did not want to interrupt the class for a pencil.
I hate to break up this little Satan party.
The old Satan party. There we go. Oh, yeah. I got him kicked out of the PHS talent show.
Oh, hell yeah.
I thought he was going to get more in trouble for carving things into desks that still remained like 25 years later.
No, that's more really?
Them not replacing the desks than anything else.
PHS got bigger problems than that.
Yeah, they have bigger problems than, you know, penises on desks. I don't know. I don't actually know what he carved on desks, to be honest. We had friends that would glue the desk down to the floor. Yeah, they would use super glue so it would be stuck in place.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they weren't. They for Pat and I, like, you know, because essentially they had two sets of kids. It was me and Pat. And then, you know, 8 to 10 years later, it's Mike and Matt. So, yeah. You know, so we're teenagers and Matt and Mike are younger. So, you know, Pat and I start becoming teenagers and just causing all sorts of nonsense. And by the time we're starting to move out of the house, Matt and Mike are teenagers and they have to go through that all over again.
So your dad was just tired and he couldn't stay up because he was just so exhausted from the other two.
Yeah, he couldn't handle it. So it was fine for us. I mean, and I also, I didn't cause as much trouble as Sean and Pat did, so it wasn't much of an issue.
I feel like Pat didn't get in that much trouble. Am I just looking at the world with rose-colored glasses, though?
I thought you guys were a very calming influence, at least on me. Like, I remember, like, the school bus would come in from Taconic. I would jump out in front of PHS. I'm like, my people. Right?
Well, was Pat part of the crew? A bunch of kids in my grade used to smoke. We're not going to say, well, can we say weed?
I mean, it's legal.
Did you say it?
I'm sorry, what? You know, a couple kids in my grade used to go the old pokey smoke, but they used to do it in a dead end alley.
Electric lettuce.
Yeah, and then I would be like, guys, I don't think you want to smoke down there. Like, if someone comes, there's a brick wall, you can't get past it. And one day they all got caught. I don't know if Pat was part of that crew, though, on lunch. It was like four or five of them. Whoa. And they were kids he used to knew because they were like the hippie kids. And, Pat always hung out with them, too, because he talked to everybody. That was the great thing about you guys. Like, just like your whole family seems to just be like, oh, what? I'll talk and hang out with you. Like, let's have fun. And I just still remember to this day those kids getting in a lot. They didn't even get in that much trouble for it. But the school officer just walked around and said, hey, boys. And they turned around. And the wall was there because I was talking to one of them. He's like, you were right. You can't escape. I'm like, it's a dead end with a brick wall. That's a
poor place to go do that.
Yeah. Right? I'm like, but I don't know if he was part of that. See, I never felt like he was really like out of control.
Well, now that we know Andy's favorite memory from that era of running into brick walls while smoking wacky tobacco or something. I'm curious, like, if you had to like sum it up with a favorite memory or a favorite sort of thought or what felt special about all of this, what are your thoughts?
Oh man, just summing up that time in general.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. It gave us like, I don't know, it gave everyone a creative outlet. It was really cool to, because you're teenagers, you got all these like, got everything going on and you're trying to just get stuff out. So having like being able to create music and zines were really big at the time, at least when I was around. Mike, I actually don't know. I don't think were zines still around when you were like a teenager?
No, I don't
think the internet probably replaced that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because like who's going to go to the trouble of making a zine when you can make a web page?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just like a lot of creative outlet there between bands and making zines and then people who like were putting on, definitely people putting on shows and
people running message boards.
Yeah. Running message boards, and doing all that. It was a cool thing to have, like, and to be able to make all those friends and everything, like, and here we are, I graduated from high school 25 years ago, and here we are still talking about all this. Yeah. It's cool, man. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad it happened. And like I said before we hopped on, I pulled out some boxes out of my basement and was just going through stuff. I was having a blast.
Yeah,
just going through all this old like all these old flyers and tapes and everything, like. It's just some cool stuff, man. It's just fun to walk out. Shit I had completely forgotten about.
Do you have any zines with copies of 19's haikus in them? Because I think those were the best part.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I have a couple of 19 zines. I have the one that was the triangle. I have that. And I have another one that's called like something bean. Oh, I forget. I was just looking at it last night. It was
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. No, those were great. He did some good ones. Bumble put out some great zines.
Yeah.
There was another one. I have some of Jeff's zines too.
Yes. Yeah, he did an awesome job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He did like the wrestling one and the horror one. I got those around somewhere. I miss zines. I recently like tried to find some new ones because Maximum Rock and Roll doesn't even do a print edition anymore. So
really?
Yeah. So I was just trying to find some stuff. I found a decent one called Razor Cake, but that's more of a magazine. And like, but I got one here. Like, I don't know. They still cover like hardcore. They got Martine from Los Crudos on the cover. I was happy to find that. Yeah.
That's so dope.
Yeah. And then Razor Cake. The Big Takeover is another one that's pretty good. But it's not like, you know, it's not zines that someone made like because they were bored in their house.
I kind of bring it back.
Yeah. No, I miss that. There's certain, I don't know, a webpage feels a little more sterile than that, you know, than someone just putting together a magazine in their, like a zine in their house.
Like Xerox in it and like, yeah
that was a pain in the ass. It was such a
absolutely
like in addition to thinking of the content, like, you guys still put it out there
for sure. And like you learned like a bunch of different bands and stuff, and it's like different. I don't want to say news, but it was kind of for me. Like I was like the first time I heard of like the ARA and stuff.
Oh yeah,
I was, like,
for sure.
I was like, this is so cool, and just like it shaped like a lot of who I became. Like just by this stupid little thing that somebody was bored and put together.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. But like the internet, you know, the modern internet, you gotta check your sources. That's
shit.
Some of these ones I pulled up and I was looking at them like, I don't know about that. Oh boy, buddy, where'd you get your info on this one? I don't think you went to the library and looked it up on encyclopedia. it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed those times and playing in bands and stuff. And
definitely,
you know, and hearing that, like, yeah, a lot of the bands were like, you know, just people having fun and doing stuff, and those were all great. And then some people became like actual musicians.
Yeah.
Really good music. And it's like, oh shit. All right. Good for you, man. It rules. Like, it's just cool to see someone's progression of going like from barely being able to play something to being like accomplished. It's like, hey, man, good for you. That rules. You stuck with it.
It was a great juxtaposition that there were some really good artists. Like you were talking about, like Joel. And
oh
Jay,
yeah.
Like you guys were all really good in the panel. We're going to take Thought Crime. Like, you guys were really talented. Like, I think that was something that it drew. And also the energy, man. Like, you were a great front man and did some wild stuff. And I'll leave it at that. But it was awesome.
I don't have any musical talent, so I had to make up for it somehow.
Yeah, but dude, you had the energy. Well,
listen, sometimes you got to light yourself on fire.
I wasn't going to say it, but yeah.
I heard that story.
That was the greatest.
Sometimes you just got to do it, you know? That's how it works.
So, Mike, it sounds like you were more tangentially like watching a lot of this, but I'm sure had your own sort of like relationship to it all. Do you have any nostalgic takeaways of things that you missed or wished you had been part of, or things that you got to be a part of that your older siblings didn't?
Yeah, I would say like the nostalgia factor is just, you know, I looked up to my brother so much as a kid. So being able to hang out in that crowd, meet all the friends, like be a part of it. Everyone welcomed me when I was a child. Like everyone welcomed me. I got exposed to, you know, different stuff from a young age. And it was awesome. And I think it helped. And I think it was really useful. And then I tried to carry that out through the rest of my life. And I think there was like a resurgence of punk when I was a teenager a bit. And I don't think there's much of it anymore, unfortunately, at least not that I'm aware of. But yeah, it definitely helped shape my life. And it was definitely very nostalgic thinking back on it. It was good times.
The life of a Nepo punk, or the Nepo punk origins.
It's been wild just being like a little kid and having all this stuff going on around you. Like, oh, it must be perfectly normal for everybody to just hang out on a street at night.
Well, yeah, and like, I have an 8-year-old. Like, I can't fathom my 8-year-old, like, holy shit.
Yeah, I think it helped me grow up a lot, like, you know, getting exposed to that and it not being sheltered or whatever. I remember another story, Sean, when we were hanging out behind your Monskies, I think the cops busted it up and I was there at one of the times, and when we drove away, one of your friends mooned the cops out of that.
That's about right.
Yeah.
There were a couple of cool officers on our beat, because I still remember, like, they busted us up one night and my brother was driving with another person we know, Mike, and they just kept driving by and the cop's like, all right, everyone's leaving. Where's your ride? And I'm like, he's driving away right now. And the cop got in his squad car pulled them over and was like, oh my
God.
And he's like, do you know why I pulled you over? And they were like, no. And he's like, hey, your brother's back there. And I told you guys they got to leave and you're his only ride because he can't drive. Because I was like, I think 15 at the time.
Oh,
and the
wow.
cop was just so cool. And he's like, go pick up your brother and his friends. It's like me and a few. It's like so sweet. Like, oh, thanks,
ride
man.
For the quarter of a mile walk yeah. down the street to your house.
Listen, all right, if the cop is gonna, he didn't know where I lived. I didn't tell him. I was like, oh, hey, he's like, why aren't you getting a ride? I'm like, my ride's driving by right now.
Boy, the people in that car must have been like, oh no, why are we getting a ride?
I'm like, one of my favorite memories was in Barbed Wire Robot with Pat, and you and Matt would like come down the stairs and like listen to us for a little bit when we were practicing. It was yeah. so it was really cool. Like your whole family was always really sweet to us and like very welcoming. Like y'all are one of my favorite families ever met, and yeah, I just always love the scene because of those like deep friendships that were built wrestling and playing three chords really badly, and some people that don't have rhythm trying to sing.
You guys had three chords? I only heard two.
Yeah, maybe two on a good day, but.
And that's sort of like my favorite part about all of this and all of these Tales from the Pits episodes is like, I was not there for 90% of this. Like I had a very specific.
Were you? I remember this. You always being around. Like, I mean, maybe I'm like mixing up eras. I remember you being around though.
This happens to me too. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure she was there, but
maybe I was there. Well, it's helping me remember things.
You went to shows at Denny's Basement, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah that was like the group that I was part of, was like that era. Sure. Yeah, so like a very specific subset. So it's fun to hear about like all these bands and things that I wasn't part of, but like sort of know the origin stories of, or sort of know the, you know, the band went from this to this to this. So it's really fun. And this was really helpful for filling in a bunch of the blanks. And also kind of seeing two polar ends of it with the different ages. And I sort of fall. I'm going to say I fall in between you, but I know I fall way closer to Sean. But I definitely fall in between the two of you. So it's a good connection point for me too.
Nice
so.
Try, Abby.
I will say this too. The more we do these Tales from the Pits episodes, it's like the more you realize that there was so much musical talent like in the scene, like because and so much love for it too. Like we all look back fondly, but like, you know, like we've kind of been led down this path because you were messaging us and you were like, hey man, you haven't talked about Illinois Jacket, right? Then we have him on. And then he's like, oh, I loved Wish, right? And then I'm going through my old 70s. So I'm like, holy shit, there's a Wish one here, right? So then I play that. I'm like, man, this is so good,
right? Up, right?
Like, it really does, though. And it's like, it's just crazy like that to think about like in this small, small place in Massachusetts, the Berkshires had just so much and still does have so much musical talent. It's insane.
It's pretty wild, right?
Yeah.
I think about that sometimes, too. Like just the sheer amount of bands that came out of Just that one little area, right?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Not everyone grows up like with that, around that. Not every town has that. I think we have a very unique perspective and experience, and pretty cool. I wonder why.
Right?
We are very lucky indeed. So thank you guys for coming on. Thank you for being a part of this.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, super fun. And I'm curious to hear what people want to hear after this in terms of Tales from the Pits. We have some more stuff planned. But I think hearing from people what they're interested in hearing is always the best part. So thank you guys for joining us tonight. It's been a fun pod. Bye.
Bye.
Hey. Thanks so much.
Always panel lunatics.
Thanks. Bye.